Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Points, and we are live through Uber Conference, the call-in line, and doing a special edition. Unfortunately, had a bit of technical difficulties with the most recent attempt, so we're doing it this way, covering a special topic. With me, as always, my co-host, the beautiful, wonderful mermaid mentalist, Fairfax's finest, the teaching prodigy, and she will teach you a thing or two if you are not careful with your P's and Q's and everything else in the alphabet. Anna. Nice.
Yes. Good evening, Gil. It's been too long. I've kind of missed you in this.
That it has, and
a little bit.
Maybe obviously I haven't been gone long enough. If you only kind of miss me.
Well, yeah. I mean, like it's not like you moved. I was like, wow, I'm never gonna see you again. I kind of missed you because it was a short amount of time, but I got so used to covering 106 games with you that all of a sudden I'm like, oh, do to do. But it's all good. It's all good. How is your summer so far? Even though it's not, I don't know. I guess summer means more when you're a teacher.
That it does. I do remember those days. And yeah. But yeah, unfortunately, it's been a lot of ever since the draft and the first few weeks of free agency have passed. It's been a lot less watching of Twitter and studying Cat Friendly and studying old video and things like that. So things have actually kind of gotten boring. So the most interesting man, the Dos Equis most interesting man, I sure am not.
Then you have to come to Centerville. And we'll find a way to make you the most interesting fan, man, whatever else you want to call it. Out here.
But it's kind of funny you should mention that because a couple weeks ago I posted the question on the Facebook page, as you probably remember, about gauging the listeners as far as who would be up for a summertime get together. And we got some good responses from some of the usual suspects. Stay tuned for that. We're going to jump into that a little bit more. Yeah. I'm going to try and gather up some details, try and get something together. We're shooting for probably either late July or sometime in August, perhaps. Nothing's firm yet, but we'll see what we can do. I think there's enough interest for, I would say, a decent-sized gathering.
Oh, absolutely. And it'd be so great to put, like a name, face, and, or meet families or whatever, whatever. I'm totally looking forward to it. And I know we had talked about Annapolis, but I'm like, you know what? Hey, maybe we'll just go on tour and we'll just have to hit parts of Maryland and parts of D.C. and parts of Northern Virginia to be sure that we get, everybody, because we've got so many microbrews out here, and of course wineries and whatnot. There's so many great places to meet up. So yeah, that'll be great. And we'll, like you said, we'll talk about that more coming up.
A Triple P tour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wouldn't it be great?
I kind of like that. Now all we need is three or four destinations, sure, between the two states, and then we can just steal Guy Fieri's car, maybe.
I have a GoPro, so like we could, you know, we could definitely film it, and Ian could design a logo and a shirt, and we could sell those. You know, because like they have all the concert dates on the back of their shirts. We'll have like three, but if we make them really big, it would make us look awesome. And yeah, it would be like our own little Stanley Cup tour.
That sounds so great, but that it
does.
It's
I know.
It all sounds like 10 miles over my head, though.
I know.
That'd be nice, well, but it's nice to dream.
Isn't it? It's okay.
You never know.
It's all good.
Hey,
don't.
Yeah, we're edging close to 500 followers on Podbean.
What are we at? Like 496.
496 last I looked, which was a couple days ago, so we might be pretty close by now.
It's so great. I'm like almost about to just make up 4 fake accounts just so I can say that we hit 500. To be like, oh, you know, think of some pseudo names or something and be like, all right, look at that. We got 500. We're awesome. No, that's just, to me, again, completely incredible, and listeners are awesome, and I just makes me excited. It's been, you know, like I know you said that your summer's boring, and mine is basically bathing suit sunscreen. That's what my summer's consisted of. I'm on the pool deck. I feel like I should just take one of the little chaise lounge and just, you know, bring my pillow and a blanket, and I'd be good to go because I'm there all the time. But it's okay, you know, because I get a chance to get my workouts in the water and, you know, help coach and Steve, you know, do whatever. And it's just, you know, it's like my second home. So that's my catch up summer to do.
That's not too bad. That's not bad at all.
You know what? It's not. Like, I mean, really, the other day when it was like, I mean, it just gets balls hot on the pool deck. And there's just times that I'm like, this is stupid. I'm complaining about being on a pool deck during the swim meet and, you know, watching the kids swim and how, you know, cheering or timing or whatever it is that I have to do. I'm like, because it could be so much worse. I mean, like, honestly,
yeah,
it could be so much worse. Like, I really shouldn't be complaining. But there is a moment, like, where the humidity is just not okay. It's just not.
No, I'm so with you there, and that was, unfortunately, yeah. There was the fan fest at Kettler with the cup on display and the opportunity to get your picture taken with it, and I so badly wanted to be there. But for one thing, I had to work, and for another thing, I did not think my body could withstand the heat, as it were. I probably would have been a puddle by the end of the whole thing. And,
No, I was the same way. I'm like, I had a swim meet, so I already knew I couldn't go. But then I was looking at pictures and people showing, like, when they got there at 5 or 6 a.m., and you know, and they're waited and whatever, and then how the line went down. Like, have you been to Kettler? I don't remember.
No, I've never been.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I know it's sort of like pseudo bucket list, but yeah, you and I'll definitely have to go. And so anyways, it's like, it's one of those kind of obscure things, but the first time I went, I was like, okay, so it's in a mall, and I'm sorry, the ice rink is on the rooftop. Like, I'm sorry, what? Like, it just, you know, it just seems very kind of awkward. And it's great. It's an amazing facility. I mean, it truly is like when you're there, you're like, oh my God, this is awesome. And, you know, you just love to be there. But, like, hands down, one of the most nerve-wracking experiences is when you drive through the parking garage. And you have to, like, you know, you're looping up. Well, there's, like, walls on each side of you. And it is, you know, one of those moments where I'm just like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm 16 taking the driver's test all over again. And then I keep thinking, like, it's a good thing I don't have a stick because that would suck. Because, you know, you're going up and up and up. And what I understood from some of the people on Facebook was that the line was actually going down the parking garage thing.
Okay. Well, okay. So, good to know. So, Anna, that's going to be something we, like I said, we're going to have to get together and do sometime this season. So let's get into the heart of the show. So we intended to do an entirely different show. We're scrapping that due to the technical issues we had. Thank you so much, Skype. Again, why we're doing Uber conference. One reason why we're doing Uber conference. pardon me, but the main topic we're gonna tackle is an idea that Anna actually came up with, and she posed the question. And it was the moment when, ..
Right.
As a Cats fan, you thought that the Cats finally had a chance to not only make something of themselves in the postseason, but also win the whole thing. Now, okay, so to that end, and since this is the only way or the best way we can get one of our stellar guests on, I'd like to introduce right now on the line with us Chris Levesque, admin of the True Caps Fans Facebook room. Couldn't think of anybody better to join us in analyzing this question that Anna posed. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Good. So glad to hear from you, Christian. So, well, I call you Christian because I just have a thing with like one of my favorite names. So he's going to call you Chris. I'm going to call you Christian. Is that okay?
Hey, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, it's my dad's name and it's my son's middle name. And I'm like, oh, I just love it. So it's all good. It's all
Christian
good. Are you
Jude,
feeling okay
ready
now?
For the Caps? Yeah, I was drinking some water and I was, I feel like a putz here and I was choking on the water, went down the wrong way. So I'm still coughing. I got that tickle in my throat now. So it's all good. I'm still learning how to drink, you know.
Well, you know, it happens because I'm like,
it
you know,
does.
It's just it's one of those. And, you know, it always happens. You're like, hey, we're live.
Oh,
so
yeah. You know, doing a podcast, I'm choking. It's happened to me in a couple conference calls at work and a couple meetings. I'm like, oh, God, here we go again, you know. And everybody's like, Chris, are you okay? Your face is purple. Looks like you're hyperventilating. You're going to have a stroke. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Just give me about 10 minutes. It'll be good, you know.
And it's one of those moments where it's like, no. We're laughing with you, not at you.
Yeah, as I'm spitting water at everybody in there, too, looking like a human sprinkler, you know.
No, it's all good. So, Gail, did you want Christian to answer the question first?
Yeah, let's start it off with him. So again, the question being posed out there is what moment or game or, well, just describe that feeling when, again, .. that you had the inkling, you had the first idea that, hey, you know what, Washington Capitals might actually make something of the season, make what Alex Ovechkin said at the beginning come true. We are not going to be sucked this year.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So to go back to, I think it was back in November, we had that that winless spell out, I want to say out west, not west, Midwest, Nashville, Colorado. Things were looking pretty bleak. We gave up 12 goals in two games, right? I think it was a 6-3 result and a 6-2 result, and things were looking pretty bad. The players had called a players-only meeting. Basically, us fans were thinking, well, you know what, I think Trotz is gone after that. But I think they had given Trotz or the Capitals organization had given Trotz one more try to get this boat righted or the ship righted. And the Capitals started playing pretty decent. And I want to say they hit another rough patch again, but it was the second week of March. They finally turned it around and they started playing really good. They were playing like that Capitals team we thought that we're, you know, this is the team that we should have had in the beginning of the season. I know they didn't make that big free agent splash signing, but we picked up Michael Kempney, and Michael Kempney, I thought, played his ass off back there. I know he started a couple of games. He was slow, But as the season wore on, he got better and better, and his minutes got better and better, and the Capitals started gelling and playing like the team we thought they should have been playing. And then to go into the Columbus series, game three, that Eller double overtime goal, and I thought, okay, I think we're in pretty good shape now. We're down 2-1. I think we could still win this series. But for me, it was the game six victory in overtime, Cousy's goal to finally put the Demons to rest. That was, to me, that was it, because I felt that, you know what, we can go into Tampa. Even though I thought that Tampa was the best team we played throughout the postseason, to include the Stanley Cup final, we had a chance. And I thought if we can beat Tampa, we could win this whole damn thing. But I thought that that game six victory in Pittsburgh on their ice and overtime by Cousy was it for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good call. That was turned out to be the one moment for a lot of us. Anna, what do you think?
Gosh, well, I, of course, you know, I put it out there as like a moment, but of course we have more than one. Everybody has more than one. I truly felt like in the beginning, because people were already sort of pseudo-doubting Ovechkin after last season, I felt like he was something switched with him. And you know, you have two hat tricks in two games in the beginning. And for me, that was phenomenal. That was like, okay, listen, like this guy's no joke. Like he's not going to listen to the haters out there, the doubters, the people who, you know, want to point fingers and the Debbie Downers and whatnot. He's truly, you know, he's given it its all. And it's, you know, it's to get a hat trick for one is, you know, oh my God. But to get two back to back, hell yeah. So I kind of felt like things were shifting with his leadership, starting with the two hat tricks. I will say that a big turning point for me and going off of Facebook with Ron was that Naval Academy Stadium series. There was something about watching the players there and their chemistry. And I know that's like a, you know, I've beaten a dead horse kind of thing with that word all season, but truly I felt like the chemistry was so obvious and so just spot on during that stadium series moment. Like that to me was like, okay, yes, this is it. They're having a good time. We're not, you know, everyone just looked good and it was patriotic and everything else. So in the beginning, that's, I definitely kind of went for that. And then, you know, yeah, we kind of had that lull and it seemed like it was that, like Christian just said, like that, you know, that players only moment. And I kind of felt like it was just a, hey, listen, you know, let's quiet the media and let's just talk about, you know, like, let's just bring it back to who we are, you know, what our goal is, what our strengths are, like as a coach to players, you know, like needed that time together. And who knows what went on in the locker room, because, you know, you could have someone who's got personal issues, they got to talk about it, or somebody who's pissed another player, you know, you just don't know. But for whatever reason, they kind of aired their differences or kinks or whatever it is, and they came back come, you know, calendar flip into 2018. And I thought, God, you know what? They just looked so strong. And I agree. Like, I'm on the Kempe wave, absolutely. And then there was just something about DSP and all of his reactions and his just something about that guy that I just love, but how excited he was when he scored and how everybody was so excited. It just seemed to kind of rally everybody together. They were playing as a team. They weren't playing for one specific person, one thing. They were a team. They were a brotherhood. And for me, I just, you know, there were several things throughout the season, but those were probably the kind of top ones that stood out.
All right, all good, all very good. So an early season moment, well, maybe not early season, but a mid-season moment for Chris. Several defining moments for you, Anna, sounds like. All good.
That your polite way of saying I talk too much.
No, wasn't going in that direction at all.
Okay.
But for me, I would have to say that the one, if you have to narrow it down to one defining moment, then for me, it would have to have been. And this is going to sound really strange, but it would have had to have been the overtime loss in game two of the first round. And I'll tell you why. Because that was what took the wind out of the sails of not only the team, but us, the fans. That, if you all remember, was the game where It was that game and the next game where it all carried over, where folks outside the team were questioning the fan base and our loyalty and our dedication. And that's you know, not to toot my own horn, but you know, the episode after that, that's where I got on my soapbox and started pounding on whatever I could, say, hey, people, this is not what being a Caps fan is all about. Yes, we've lived through some bad times, but now is not the time to quit. And so for me, the defining moment was when they went on the road, Alex Ovechkin made his guarantee, we're going to win the next two games, showed himself to be a leader. Lars Eller stepped up and showed more than a flash in the pan that he could be a quality center above his role and got that game-winning goal. And you could just see the weight lifted off of this team. And that, for me, was when I knew, okay, now that they've got that first win under the belt, now that they've got that out of the way, and it's no more woe is me, it's we're showing everybody what we can do, and we're living out the guarantee, everybody is finally playing up to their potential from goalie to defense to forward. That, for me, was the defining moment, and that's why. Because it affected the fans, it affected the roster, and this is why I had to give Coach Trotz a little, you know, more than a little credit. You didn't see any panic from the coaching staff. You didn't see any panic there, but you saw it. You saw the players were relieved to win, and then they got it under their belt. They finally created some momentum from themselves, and from then on, they really didn't have a difficult time, except maybe in the Tampa series. But you saw how that turned out. That turned out to be nothing for them as well.
True, but I think that, you know, and I'm not absolutely, you know, it's an opinion, and I'm not going to judge anybody's opinion, absolutely not, because, you know, everybody saw things differently. But it's, you know, there are things that you're going to say that game, but I just realized that I didn't mention the Penguins either, which is terrible. But you don't feel like the win in the series against the Penguins was a pivotal moment? Either one of you? Well, Christian did, but not the moment for you, Gal.
Not the moment for me.
Okay.
You have to have a touchstone. You have to have something that kicks off, some big bang that starts it all rolling. And because that's the most important moment for me. So that's why I list that, because up until then, they were playing like a defeated team. The fans thought they were defeated. Everybody thought, well, not everybody, but a lot of people were thinking, okay, Columbus might win this in a sweep.
Right.
Well, whatchamacallit, our buddy on NBC Sports picked Columbus to win the Stanley Cup. Milbury.
Right. Yep.
that right there should have told you what how the thing was going to turn out.
Right. Mike Milbury. Oh, I feel like one of these days, like I'm going to be at an airport or somewhere, like forced to sit next to this guy, and I'm like, I want to like you, I really do, but I just can't. Like, give me, you know, buy me a couple drinks, let's sit and talk, and I want to like you, but I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised that he, you know, is pulling for somebody other than the Capitals. Absolutely, that's just kind of his MO.
But you could tell, I think, during the Stanley Cup Finals, he looked like he was pulling for us, and other folks weren't. And so I thought that was a plus. I'm thinking, well, he finally is coming around. I may end up kind of liking the guy. But you know what? We won. I'm thinking, you know what? So what? They can all kiss my butt. We're champions, you know. But I want to when we were down 0-2 against Columbus, and I remember everybody on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everybody was badging the Caps, bad-mouthing. Here we go again. Yes, everybody was feeding off of that negativity. I was one of those guys that said, up, here we go again, right? And I remember a couple folks were getting on everybody's nerves and whatnot, and I remember talking to my wife. I'd gone to bed, and I said, this doesn't look good. We're down 0-2. And she goes, what do you think? I said, I don't know. I really don't know what to think. So I remember the next morning, I'm in the shower, get out of the shower, and I said, you know what? I think we're going to win the next couple games. I think we're really going to do this. And so I remember Gil was getting on some folks about, now this is going to be a different Caps team. Wait and see, right? So that game three double overtime winner, I forgot who was that posted something the other day and said Eller had a meh season, and I counter back, meh, the guy came up big for us all season to include the postseason.
Not to interrupt you, Chris, but I'm actually going to be your defender here. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I saw that tweet too. It was from a guy by the name of Peter Hassett, who writes for Russian Machine Never Breaks. I'll say this about them. They might be the biggest Caps blog, and they got a lot going for them, I'll say, and they represent the Caps very well, but they do and say a lot of things that, I'll be nice here, are questionable at best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't hold back, y'all. Come on.
I'll leave it at that. No, I'll be nice. But they might be the biggest flaw, but I don't think they're the best representatives of Caps fans, at least not all the time. My knock on them used to be that they would talk about former Caps ad nauseum. They don't do that as much anymore. Certainly not that now they've won the cup and all, but I don't know. They're okay. They're like a jelly donut. nice to have once in a while. Nice to partake in once in a while, but not too much.
Yeah. Oops. I'm more of a Boston cream guy myself. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I don't know if you've in the past have seen the banter between Ian Nolan and Alan May. So it's hysterical. I mean, I'm a big Alan May guy. I love that guy to death. I've actually talked to him when he coached a minor league team down in North Carolina. But I think it was hilarious. I think Alan May put it. He said, "Look, you know, if you got issues, here I am. It's wide open. Let's talk about it right now." But yeah, I have to agree with Gil with that. With Russian Machine Never Breaks. You know, I totally agree with you.
I knew what you were worried about, Anna, and I'm starting to warm up to Alan May. I'll never question Alan May's knowledge of the game. Never, mm-hmm. never. Because he was once a guest on the old, not the newer version of it, but the old version, the original version of the Schaefer's Rink Radio podcast. And he was giving coaching tips and observations and things to keep an eye on and to notice. And he's the one that taught me, frankly, that you need to watch the first several minutes of the game for body language. You need to watch players' body positioning, how they approach the game, their stances, especially when playing the power play and the penalty kill on special teams. I mean, he had all kinds of detail. So I will never, ever, ever question his knowledge of the game, because it's second to none.
I think he said it best when you could tell how the game is going to go. You give it the first 10 minutes, and then if the 10 minutes is back and forth, after that 10-minute mark, it should even itself out. And after I've heard him say that a couple years ago, and I go to games and I tell my wife, or if I'm watching a game, give it 10 minutes and it starts to even itself out and you can tell which way the game is going to go. And I remember him telling me that. I think he told me that some years ago at Kettler, and then he talked about it again on TV. And I point to my wife. I said, see, he knows.
He does. He does. Like, I think when we, like, literally when we started this podcast and I mentioned his name and whatnot, it was like cringe-worthy moment for Gil. Because did he block you, or he did?
We got into a bit of a dust-up over some things I was questioning Brent Johnson saying, and you know how I feel about Brent Johnson. But he jumped in to defend his guy, and I can understand that. But yeah, that's where that stems from.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of like when we were having this moment of, you know, people like, oh my God, well, if, you know, if Barry Trotz is, you know, if he's done and we don't know if Reardon's going to step up, I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I want Alan May to be the coach.
Get Alan
like,
May in there. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've always thought that. And it's so funny because someone's like, well, why would you choose him over, like, you know, Locker? And I'm like, I don't know. There's just something. I feel like when if you have ever been a coach or you've done something and been coached for a while, there's a certain kind of personality. And Alan May has a personality. Like he has the coach's personality of like he's going to be a hard ass when he needs to, and he's going to be, you know, super knowledgeable. And then he can kind of goof off and you know you see another side of him. I know, like, all of my swim coaches were, like, complete and total hard asses. But then when you could see them, you know, kind of after a couple of seasons, you'd be like, okay, this is one part of you, you know, kind of thing. And I was like, oh, my God, I'd love to see Alan May. Like, I would think it would be so great. But I'm not to say that I don't support Reardon, but I'm just, I don't know, I just like, oh, Alan May, I just think he's great.
Alan May, he's definitely got the coaching experience. He's coaching the minors. I think I like that hard ass mentality he portrays. But you know, when you talk to him one on one, he's not like that at all. He's a big bear. I mean, this guy is great. You know, you could probably pound beers with the guy for 4 or 5 hours and just come away thinking, wow, this guy's like my best buddy now. Just telling
right.
you, that's the way I felt. Right. You know, talking to him a couple times at the rink. Talking to him when I was stationed in North Carolina when he was coaching the team down there. And I remember after the game, I was like, hey, dude, I'm a huge Caps fan. I remember you. And we just started talking. It was great. And the guy was, you know, so interested in what we did as a whole. But I was interested in him thinking, oh, my God, this is great. I felt like a little girl. Like, oh, my God, you know, you're the greatest. You're down here in North Carolina. Oh, sorry about that. But and I'm thinking, this is great. But, yeah, I pounded a couple beers with this guy. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's freaking awesome. But I think I ran into him again earlier this year. They had a fan fest, or not a fan fest, but some season ticket thing at Capital One Arena, and he was walking around with Craig, and oh my God, they could have a comedy duo on a podcast or something. Those two guys were just cutting up. It was hilarious. you know. But he'll stop and make time for you, and, yep, and treat you like you are somebody and talk to you like you're somebody, unlike some of these other ex-players or veterans that, right, are out there right now. Adam Oates, sorry about that. But can't stand the guy, you know. Wish him the best, not. But anyway, I mean, that's how I feel about Adam Oates. You know, Skeletor, there you go.
There you go.
Or a bad Ray Liotta, you know. But I like Ray Liotta on Goodfellas. But anyway, but sorry, I'm just getting away from everything right now.
Welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, it's off the rails night. Yeah, for sure. But actually, just to reel it in a little bit, I didn't want to forget about the others that have contributed to the topic.
Yes.
Getting back to that, Anna, you mentioned to me earlier you had some notes. Did you want to read off that, or did you want to just go off of Facebook? How did you want to do that?
But you know what? It's honestly, Joe, it's totally up to you. Like I said, I wrote down what people had said, but I feel like you may know more of these people than I do. I just happen to have a couple of phone conversations with people, either phone or I saw them in person, because I knew they were fans, and was like, hey, I just, you know, like, I have a quick question for you. So if you want, I'll do that part of it, and then you can do the Facebook part of it.
Okay, so yeah, let's do that. So let's go into what your conversations were like, and I'll read off the thoughts of the other listeners from the Facebook page, and the three of us will kind of wrap it up after that.
That sounds great. So we have like new follower, new friend. His name is Don. He lives in Gainesville. He's awesome. And when I spoke to him the other day, he mentioned that he felt like the biggest difference this year was the consistency, which I absolutely agree with. I'm like, I felt like if I wasn't saying consistency, I was saying chemistry all the time. And that he felt like post-Christmas was when they really seemed very focused, which is what I think Christian mentioned. And you know, we mentioned that, like, you know, no media meeting kind of thing. That's what really stood out for him, like something, you know, kind of clicked over that break. And I agree, because I think once the calendar hit 2018, it was like, okay, we really started to see a little bit of a different team and a little bit more focused. But his big turning point, if we have to like kind of nail it down, was that going into that Columbus series, that 0-2, and people doubting, and like Gil had mentioned before, like even fans being like, oh, typical. And he was one that was like, no, like, you know, we're just going to keep rallying against it. And like here, all of a sudden we won four in a row. And that was like kind of his pivotal moment right there, which, yeah, like I absolutely agree with. I think that series to me was awesome. And then on a totally random side note, Gil, it just so happens that Dawn is a huge Ball and Biscuit fan from the White Stripes.
Okay. Yeah. You're stacking the deck against me, I see. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
I get it.
But it's just like, you know, how do I talk to these people, and all of a sudden I know that that's a favorite song too. I'm like, oh, I can't wait, because, you know, as soon as they're like, oh, I like Jimmy Buffett, I'm like, yeah, cancel, sorry, can't hear you, going through a tunnel. but anyway, so it's just down 4 points with that, which is awesome. So
of course,
a couple other people I had talked to. Was actually really funny. There was two other gentlemen that I spoke to. They were husbands of friends of mine, and both of them separately said that they were absolutely not sure the Caps were even going to make it. Like, they didn't have a pivotal moment until literally like maybe game four against the Knights. Like, they really were like, listen, we've been fans for so long, and there was no way we were going to jinx it and say oh, 6 months, you know, before we think they're going to win. And I said, it's not even a matter of winning the Stanley Cup. It was like, when did you realize that the team was different? And so when we kind of narrowed it down that way, a lot of them said it was that Penn series. Absolutely. It was sort of like, you know, whatever, demon, curse, monkey on the back, whatever you want to call it, just seemed to be the big pivotal moment for a lot of fans. And these are, you know, 1974 fans, like diehard kind of thing. Eric Hayes, our truck driver friend, I spoke to today, and his thing was after the California series, which I think a lot of us, like for myself, I was like, gosh, that was like late November, December, I want to say. And, you know, you're going into hardcore, you know, you have the Knights, you have the Ducks, you have the Kings, you have the Sharks, you know, that kind of thing. And they usually don't do very well on the road. And that was always a big concern. But they seem to prove themselves halfway through the series there. And for him, that was kind of his moment of like, you know what, this is a different team. So I thought that was kind of an interesting take on it too. And then he also noticed a big change after Christmas, I guess. That seems to be like one area that seems to be like a kind of a common factor for a lot of people. And the rest of the stuff I have, Gil, is all Facebook stuff. So if you want to go ahead and talk about what those guys said.
Okay, well, certainly. And so a lot of, you mentioned, UN Chris mentioned the Penguin series, and that seemed to be a prevailing opinion amongst the listeners who posted. I'm going to start out with my man Kevin Simmons. He mentioned a series that we haven't really talked about a whole lot. That's the conference final against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
Basically, he had several posts, first of which said basically, after they shut out Tampa two straight, knew they were unbeatable. I think probably the quote of the night, so I'll read it verbatim. TV was their toughest opponent in the playoffs after the guys made them look very JV-like in games six and seven. I knew they were unstoppable. Could not
I
have said it better
quote.
Myself.
Absolutely. I love that quote. I think he was spot on. Totally spot on. Like I feel like I totally left that series out and was like, yeah, that's awesome. So thank you, Kevin, for that.
Yeah, very, very astute point by him. Of course, the memory I will take away from that was how Andrei Burakovsky finally came out of his shell and took over a game. He won that game. And the series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would say. So moving on, Ron Schrantz, when we beat those stinking Penguins in the playoffs, that was it for him. Says until then, he had his doubts, just like every Caps fan did. But once got past them, felt like we were broken some sort of curse. So, dealing with the demons, again, a prevailing theme. And like you mentioned this before, Anna, he also mentioned the stadium series game in Annapolis.
Right.
That might have been the curtain jerker for what was to come, because I think he makes a good point here. They really started to gel then. He went on our show and talked about that, how he thought the team was playing. I think, you definitely saw the first flashes of what was to be then. So I think that was a good point. An old friend of mine, Doug Lucerarian, he says, after game two versus the Pens, when they tied that series, to bounce back after playing so well in game one only to lose. Of course, they lost game one after, you know, not playing a 60-minute game. They played a 55-minute game. So, lesson learned there. The guy who goes by the name of Facebook persona of Caps Nut, he says he wasn't into it until first intermission of game four of the final. They had just gone up 3-0. And they ended up going 3-1 in the series as a result. And then true to form, typical Cavs fans said, but even then, I thought if there was a team that could blow a 3-1 series lead in the final, it was us. but thank goodness they didn't. So that pretty much summarizes the comments on the page. So a variety of different points of view, different moments within mostly the playoffs, but some with the within the regular season. And I think Chris, you were great to point out the November series. I think that was really what started it all. When everything was behind closed doors and everybody knuckled down and said, look, we're better than this. And that's what really started it on that end, I think.
Yeah, I think at that time in November, we were one game, I think, over 500. Yeah, we were after the Calgary game in November, that was the day before my birthday, we lost 4-1. We were only a game over 500. We were 11-10-1. And I thought, yeah, things aren't looking too good for our boys in red there. Something needs to change. But I think I can't – I know earlier today I'm away into work, and I was thinking about, you know, this evening's podcast and the show, that it, to me it wasn't the one individual besides Ovechkin having the two back-to-back hat tricks that Anna had touched on, scoring 7 goals in 2 games. But it seemed like the whole team came together when we knew that there was something going on with Holtby, and the team had admitted that Holtby was tired, and that Grubauer stepped up. And it, to me, was just a total team effort. It wasn't just one guy. It was a total team effort. The multiple injuries they had earlier in the season, guys stepped up and played their butts off. To me, that was a sign right there. And then during the Pittsburgh series, we had Wilson out, we had Backstrom out, and those guys that are black aces during Game 6 played their butts off. I mean, you got Nathan Walker with an assist on the Chiasson goal. Who else do we have that played good? Boyd, what's his name? We just offered, gave him, what was it again? Yeah.
Travis Boyd?
Yeah, Travis Boyd. Yeah, he got an opportunity to play as well, too. Those guys, I thought, you know, if it was just another Caps team a couple years down the road or in the past, you know, we would have fallen apart. We would have just crawled up, got into the fetal position, and, you know, we're defeated. But this team, the mentality of this team, it was, you know what, we're in this together, we're going to do this. And I really felt that, you know, it wasn't just one guy, it was just a total team effort this time that carried them over the hump and got us that Stanley Cup championship.
Absolutely. Well, and I think when I was talking to the one of the swim dads yesterday about it, who's a big fan, I said, you know, it there was a lot of talk about, you know, oh, Ovechkin and scoring 500 goals and doing this and doing that. And I said, but you know what? I can honestly say that I'm so proud of this team. That was an accomplishment, but it wasn't the focal point. And that's when you realize that, you know, even and for him as a player to realize that there's so much media hype and so many people watching and so many people holding out to, you know, to see him make, you know, whatever it is that he's trying to get to, or, you know, his accomplishments and whatnot. But the fact that same individual is just as happy for someone's first NHL goal or someone's first assist or someone, you know, whatever, to me it was like, you know, that's something to be admired, and that's a leader right there. Like, you know, Ovechkin didn't need all of the hype, he just wanted to be there for the team. And I agree, like, I feel like they just, you know, I know that for the 106 games, Gil is tired of me talking about Tommy, but, you know, there's a player right there that matured, you know, stepped up. You've got him on the top line for some stuff. I mean, there were things that guy did that you're like, oh my God, hey, he's out of the box and he's, you know, doing what we all thought he would do. And then you've, you know, you've got the Braunas and Juice and, you know, and again, it was awesome. But I absolutely feel the same way, Christian, with that group hour thing. And I felt like there's just that mutual respect that, yes, they all wanted Holtby to be better. I feel like it was more like wanting him mentally and physically 100%. Versus like, we need you in the goal, you know, like, we need you in the net, we need you to do this, we need you to do that. It was like, hey, man, like, you need to take care of yourself, like, we care about you, and we're going to support Grubauer, but let's just be sure he's okay. And so, you know, and the respect between the goalies is, you know, that's, there was no competition there, they absolutely had admiration for each other, and you just can't not respect that.
All right, so there you have it, pretty much. that really is the guts of it right there. You had, and the secret to how they won the cup ultimately, in my mind, because everything just came together. It just felt like where, you know, even though we all have our different points of the season in the playoffs where we say, aha, this can happen. The fact of the matter is, it did happen and was going to happen and was destiny. And the fact that we all can see that there were times when they faltered, but they managed to pick each other up at those difficult points in the season. And that's what being a team is all about. That's what playing like a team is. And that's how you win, by overcoming and making the best of those situations. So I think this is a good point to stop it here. I think we could go on forever about this. we got to wrap it up here. Chris, once again, as always and forever, pleasure having you on. This is why, you know, whenever I, Anna and I get to thinking, well, we need somebody to get in here and talk about the team as a whole and provide some observations. You're that guy. You're always that guy. You're always going to be that guy. So great having you on again. I really appreciate you coming on with us and sharing your thoughts with us and being absolutely wonderful again.
Cool. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate you guys. Love you guys a lot. Thanks. It really means a lot. You know, thanks a lot for inviting me on your show. And hey, we really need to get together sometime soon.
Yes, I know. Oh my gosh. Yes. We will figure out Gil's schedule is a little bit more like crazy than mine is, but there, you know, I've hit that life's too short, you know, you're just going to do it. You know, if we're tired, who cares? Let's meet up and celebrate and, you know, meet face to face. I'm all, you know, completely on board. And I think, Christian, you said you're not far from two silos.
Nope. I'm about 20 minutes away. Yep.
Ah, such a great. So I'm like, even if Gil can't make it to the dark side of Virginia, I'm always up for that place because I'm about 20 minutes from there too. So I'm like, that, you know, it's such a cool place.
We'll
but
figure something out.
We will
throw something together for sometime this summer. We have to. It's been too great a ride, and there's a lot of good people that are involved. But we'll definitely put something together. I think. Just a matter of timing, that's all. Okay.
Fun.
Yep, sounds great. Sounds great to me. So, for Christian Levesque and Anna Knox, we're going to wrap it up right here. I don't know that we're going to have a show for a while, to be honest. Probably going to be a few weeks. Keep your eyes peeled on the Facebook page for any announcements, any future dates. Probably going to be at least one or two shows here or there before training camp. And then come mid-September, when that kicks in, we'll be full swing for sure. but probably going to be a bit spotty. We'll keep up on the Facebook page, though. So once again, for Chris Levesque and Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that you never should ever buy anything with Velcro. You know why? It's going to be a total ripoff.
Don't encourage him, Christian. Don't encourage him.
That's great. That is great.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Gal.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Go Caps.
Go Caps. Love you guys.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.